Turn with me in your Bibles to John 14, verses 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God today, for the very words of Jesus. I ask that you would speak to us, that you would be our teacher, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive your Word and to believe in Jesus. And Father, I ask today that you would cleanse me, that I would be a vessel fit for your use, and that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit, with power and love and compassion. And Lord, thank you for these friends. Bless them, meet their needs, and watch over each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone enjoy saying goodbye or farewell to an immediate family member, a relative, or a close and intimate friend? I do not. I don't like to say goodbyes or farewells. I have watched our daughter leave for Hungary 8 times, and it doesn't get any easier. And by the way, I talked to her this week, and she was homesick. Terrible thing to be homesick when you're so far away. There's not much you can do about it over the phone. Those phones are really great, but they don't hug very well. And Those farewells sometimes are difficult. When a person leaves, sometimes a thought goes through your mind, will I see that one again? Or will I not? And those dying have said their final words to their loved ones. That's not always an easy thing to do. But sometimes it's very necessary that our children and grandchildren know where we're going. That they know what's going to happen to us when we die. I like the words of the song, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him? Does he care? And that chorus is a resounding, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by our grief. Isn't that good to know? That we have a God who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities in the midst of life. Jesus has three farewell discourses in John 13 through 17. First, he gives a discourse at the Last Supper in chapters 13 and 14. And he tells the news to his disciples that he's going away. They were very hard words. It says that when they heard this, sorrow had filled their hearts. He gives a second discourse on the way to Gethsemane as they walk by the grapevines and the fig trees, warning them of what's ahead. Remember how he cursed the fig tree and it died? It was a farewell warning. You know, it's always good to give a warning to our loved ones. Tell them of the dangers that are ahead. Tell them what's coming. But be sure and tell them that Jesus is coming again. To give them hope. So important. And the third one is that Jesus intercedes for his disciples and those who would come to believe in him. He also warns them that they would be hated because Jesus was hated without a cause. Well, those are hard words coming from a loving Savior. But if you identify with me, Jesus says, people are going to hate you without a cause. Think about that. And if it doesn't happen, maybe you don't have much of a witness. Philip and Jesus have a discussion in verses 8 through 21. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus responded, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Verses 8. 9 and 14. But also Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit to be with you. The first thing we see in our text today is love and obedience. Jesus makes a statement here in verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my command. That's not an option. That's a command. If you love me, you will obey my command. Do you love him? And the word love here is the word agape, which is self-giving, sacrificial, concern for another person, It characterizes God and is the basis of His action toward us in Christ. Those loved by God show love toward others. Love, like faith, cannot be separated from obedience. Jesus is asking the disciples, "Do you love me?" And all of us must ask ourselves, do we love Jesus? And if we love Jesus, you will obey what I command. Christ commands. Christ's word includes not merely ethical mandates, but all His teachings. How do we know His commands? We must read His word and walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's a scary thing, you know. The more you know of this Word, the more He requires of you. And He requires a lot of us. Over in chapter 13, 34. 35. It says here, as Jesus was speaking to the disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is the latest commandment. "A new commandment I give you, love one another. And you must love one another." You see, in the body of Christ, it's not an option to love your brothers and sisters. It's a command. And we can do that when we're motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit working through us can enable us to love each other. And yet, for us as believers, it is a command. And if you're not getting along with your brothers and sisters here, you're disobedient, pure and simple. How do we know if someone loves Jesus? That's the question. The evidence is in obeying His command. And the answer is this in verse 21. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." You know what? You're going to want little Bailey to obey, right? Because her obedience will tell you how much she loves you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We like obedient children, right? They don't always follow that. I mean, I failed. But it's a command of God. Second thing we see in our text is that Jesus will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you, with the disciples forever, the Spirit of Truth. I don't know. I find great comfort knowing that the Holy Spirit's going to be with me forever to help me obey His commands. I don't have to do it myself. He sent a helper. The Spirit is referred to as a counselor, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, someone who appears on another's behalf. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit imparts the truth found in God, His Word, and His Son, who speaks truthful words. The Spirit brings people to the truth of God. Friends, if I could encourage you today, cultivate a walk in the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to the book of Galatians for a minute. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18. And this is what it says. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Did you get that? You won't be giving in to your sinful nature if you walk by the Spirit of God. He's the one who can keep you from the moment of temptation, and only Him. And then he goes on and he says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, we have these two little men fighting in our head all the time, right? One wants to do one thing and one wants to do the other. And who's going to win is the question. Do we give in to our sinful nature or do we allow the Holy Spirit to help us cultivate a walk in the Spirit? The third thing we see in this text is a little word called orphan. Orphan. What is an orphan? An orphan is someone whose parents have died or been deserted or abandoned. There are a lot of orphans today wandering our streets. They've been abandoned, left to fight on their own, to scrounge up food, to live. They're orphans. And when Jesus speaks of the believers, he calls them little children or endeared ones. You know what? You're going to call Bailey an endeared one. This is my little endeared one. Special meaning, right? Absolutely. Jesus, in his great love for us, does not want to desert or abandon us. Jesus wasn't going to leave them without help or hope. That's what our text says. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Isn't that good news? He won't abandon us. He cares about us. He loves us. I like the verse in James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. True religion is to take care of the orphan and the widow. And by the word widow here, we mean someone over the age of 60 that has lost their husband. You know, first of all, it's the responsibility of the family to take care of the widow first. But then it falls on the rest of us to help those widows. My brother and I wouldn't let us go work for anybody else when we were growing up. He was afraid he'd lose us to some other farmer or something. So we never got to work out. But he did let us mow lawns in town, okay? And wouldn't you know it, most of the lawns I mowed were widows' lawns. I think I had 12 of those lawns. And we weren't allowed to set a price on that mowing. It's whatever they had, they gave us. But you know what? We always got Kool-Aid and cookies. It was a real blessing. They were lonely people that needed some little kid to talk to him. We're to take care of orphans and widows because it's part of God's command to love one another. You know, if something happens to me, I sure hope somebody takes care of my widow, watches out for her. Isn't that what us men want for our wives? Absolutely. Over in 1 John 3:16 through 18, it says, "And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love in word and tongue, but with actions and in truth." If we have the ability to help, we're to do it. That's a command. That's a command. I also like what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs 21:13. "Whoever closes his eyes to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Did you get that? When it comes your time and you start crying out and you haven't cared about those others, he's not going to hear your cry either. You know what? That's serious business. It also says in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone," says here, "and especially to those who are of the household of faith." You know, sometimes we don't care for one another, do we? Over my dead body, am I going to help that person? Right? Well, come on. There's some people that are pretty unlovely. You look like you've never heard this before. But they're out there. And the word says, do good to everyone. That doesn't give us any wiggle room, does it? And the fourth thing we have here is a conversation between Judas and Jesus. And Judas asks a question, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" And Jesus answers in verse 23 and 24, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not obey my teaching." Do you think that obedience out of love for Christ is important? Absolutely. The disciples will be taught by the Holy Spirit and us as well. And the fifth thing we see is that Jesus set the example of love and obedience. Isn't it good that we have someone who sets an example for us? We're always looking for a hero, aren't we? Someone we can look up to. Someone who has morals and ethics and a good standard of living. Jesus set the example, and in the last verse here, in verse 31, this is what he says. I'll find it. Here's what it says. "But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." How much wiggle room is there in that? That I must do exactly what my Father commands me. There's no wiggle room. Is this a kind of relationship that you want with your children? One of love and obedience? If so, fathers, you need to set the example. And it's never too late to start. Even if you failed in the past, today is a new day. And you can start afresh. Isn't that good news? Never too late to start. The story of a father and a son. One day the father took the son out fishing. They caught nothing. You ever had fishing days like that? That's why it's called fishing and not catching. They caught nothing. And the father wrote in his journal and made this entry. Spent the whole day fishing and caught nothing. A wasted day. That's what it was in his journal. But his son, in the entry in his journal, wrote this. I spent the whole day fishing with Dad. Best day ever. Does your example make a difference? Absolutely. Best day ever. And they caught. It was time spent with a son being an example. And maybe the father wasn't a very good example, but the son knew the father loved him. You know what? I got news for you. The Father loves you. Jesus loves you today. And He wants us to be obedient. You can go around and say how much you love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But if you're walking in disobedience, it says in this book, you do not love Jesus. It doesn't get any clearer than that. By the grace of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's walk in obedience to show that we love Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. Father, help us to be more sensitive to the needs of others, to be more caring for the orphan and the widow, and those in need, and let us do good to the household of faith. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you set the example in obedience to your Father. And you carried that obedience out even to the death on a cross for your sake and mine. And Lord, we do love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.